Though a project leader is not always involved during the pre-award phase, there are many benefits to having project leaders involved early on, since it gives them an opportunity to review the scope and timelines and ensure that the budget is in line with the expected delivery. If involved at this stage, the project leaders will work closely with the proposal developer, GBO, business development, sales, and therapeutic strategy lead, or TSL. Other functional group leads may be involved as well. Click the Key Stakeholders box to learn about the role and responsibilities of the stakeholders listed here. I'd like to understand what you think you'd be doing in this phase. That's right, Alex. One of the other things you and your project management analyst would be looking at here is reviewing the contracted invoice and payment schedule to predict cash flow. Yes, you have to distribute details of the scope of work, SAO, so the project team members know what work is included and what is not included in the project. You will also need to inform them if the project code is active so that they can code their time in PeopleSoft time and labor. You may need to provide them with some guidance on billing expenses. You will need to ensure that the budget uploaded by the PFM to our finance management system is accurate. It should reflect both the scope of work and the assigned resources. Sure, Alex. So you will lead the team to establish a performance measurement baseline, PBM, for finance, based on the information populated by the QIP, or alternative pricing tool, and adjusted to reflect operational expectations at the start of the project. This is the baseline against which project success is measured. Click as indicated on the screen to learn about the QIP. You also commence the monthly processes of revenue recognition and forecasting. Remember, the budget won't be uploaded until the appropriate contract agreements are in place, so you cannot commence these two processes until then. Following the finance calendar, you need to review and confirm the revenue earned and forecast revenue to be earned, backlog, in the future. You will be working in close collaboration with your team and the PFM on this. You need to make sure that you have developed procedures to manage the pass-through expenses, third-party vendors, and investigator grants. If you have a project integration manager assigned to your project, that person will be heavily involved in all the discussions regarding third-party vendors. You will also need to take into consideration any customer preferences expressed during the strategy handover meeting or any of the four critical project transition meetings, for example, any pertinent invoicing procedures or expectations that the customer might have specific to the contract. And last but not the least, you will also commence the invoice to the customer as per the contractual terms. Click the Key Stakeholders box to learn about the role and responsibilities of the stakeholders listed here. Some time back, Ralph, another PL on my team, faced a situation related to contracts. Let's see what happened. Hello, Ralph. What's the matter? You look worried. Phantom Pharma had signed the ATP. However, the comprehensive agreement had still not been finalized. As a project leader, what did Ralph need to do?
You seem to be headed in the wrong direction.
That's right. You may want to revisit your choices. In situations where the startup work on a study has been completed under the cover of an ATP, a project leader needs to remember that only limited work can be done before the comprehensive agreement is in place. The project leader must continue to liaise with the customer and the contracts team to oversee the finalization of the comprehensive agreement, and they should ensure that no work is done that is not covered in the scope as defined in the ATP and the relevant quintiles IMS policies. Furthermore, the project leader should be aware of the expiry date of the ATP, if there is one, know the maximum amount in the ATP, and track both closely to ensure that the contract is in place before either is exceeded. Which activities could Ralph have started for his project prior to getting the comprehensive agreement signed, assuming that these are all in the scope on the final contract? Drag the correct activities in the box given below, and then click Submit.
An ATP only covers the provision of the basic startup services that Quintiles IMS can start performing to get the project underway. The activities that cannot be performed without the full contract include executing CTAs and TPV contracts, obtaining consent from patients, screening, randomizing patients, shipping of drugs, and enrolling and monitoring of patients. Before starting your project with Worldwide Pharma, you should get familiar with the different types of contracts that we have set up with them. Well, yes, the contracts group does have a key role to play there. Nevertheless, it is important for you to have a good understanding of the different types of contractual agreements that you will encounter while managing your project. This will help you understand the scope of work and identify any out-of-scope or OOS activities, amongst other things. Sure, let's first take a helicopter view and focus simply on what you need to know for now. What kind of preliminary agreements we tend to use? For example, an authorization to proceed, or ATP, a letter of intent, or LOI, and the difference between these and a comprehensive agreement. Later on, but before your project with Worldwide Pharma starts, we can delve more deeply into the different types of contractual documents that we use at Quintiles IMS. How does that sound? You can go through this handout to learn more about ATP and comprehensive agreement. Let's now move to the conduct phase. Throughout the conduct phase, you will continue the monthly processes of revenue recognition and forecasting that you started as soon as the budget was loaded into our finance management system. You may already know that we also call the conduct phase as the monitoring and controlling phase of the project, when invoicing and financial management are performed based on the Performance Measurement Baseline, or PMB, budget. And remember, you are not working alone. You are going to continue to collaborate with the project team, FLs and PFM. Plus, you will be guided by the finance calendar on which day the monthly review of finance activities needs to be performed. Sure, a major area for effort during this phase of the project is the constant, diligent scrutiny required to determine how the project is performing from the financial perspective, combined with appropriate follow-up actions to mitigate the impact to contribution margin. Various reports and metrics are available to the project team for this, many generated and circulated by the PMA. The project team needs continuously to optimize their project financials, functional costs, and project contribution margin using the available levers, hours, grades, and countries. Sure, first, let me take you back to the revenue pyramid, which you may have seen before. You need to be familiar with all of the terms in this pyramid, how they are calculated, and what they mean to the financial health of your project and our corporate financial health. Looking at the pyramid, notice that the difference between net revenue and cost of revenue is known as contribution margin. As its name implies, contribution margin must contribute to and cover all of the other expenses of the business, as well as generate net income. Contribution margin is an important measure of our profitability, with increases in contribution margin typically driving increases in our net income. Contribution margin can also be expressed as a percentage of net revenue. You will hear this referred to as contribution margin percentage. We use contribution margin percentage as a KPI to measure profitability both at the project level and the organization level. I'm going to give you that alt as percent. Contribution margin can also be expressed as a percentage of net revenue. You will hear this referred to as contribution margin percent. We use contribution margin percent as a KPI to measure profitability both at the project level and the organizational level. In the example shown, if the net revenue from the work performed is $20 million and the cost of delivering that work, or the cost of revenue, is $10 million, then the contribution margin is $10 million and the contribution margin percent is 50%. I'll give you that last clause as a... And the contribution margin percentage is 50%. Now, moving on, a key skill all project leaders must have or develop is the ability to manage change effectively, so we keep the project on track. Any identified OOS activities must be tracked in the change control log until a change order is executed. Yes, that's right. And along with managing change effectively during the course of the conduct phase, there will be many invoice-related tasks that you and your PMA will be responsible for driving. Other involved stakeholders include the Quintiles IMS Investigator Payment Analyst, or IPA, and our Lead Clinical Analyst, or LCA, as well as third-party vendors, or TPV. Now, moving on to the closeout phase, a key activity in this phase is financial reconciliation. Essentially, what is meant by financial reconciliation is that once all contracted activities are completed for a project, a final check is performed on revenue recognition and on invoicing, sponsor, TPV, and investigator, to determine whether the numbers are consistent with expectations. If any discrepancies are discovered, they need to be explored and addressed. Once all the numbers agree, the PL can say that the financial reconciliation process is done. After financial reconciliation, and once the sponsor has confirmed that the project is complete, the PL needs to communicate this information to the team for general end-of-project activities, and in particular to the PFM for project finance-specific end-of-activities. Closing the project and the contract in our finance management system is an important task, which only the PFM can do. Fair question. But what can happen as you move on to your next assignment is that you may forget to inform the PFM that the study is closed. If the project is not properly closed in our finance systems, we create an unnecessary burden of work for our finance teams. Sales also likes to know when a project is closed, so it is a good practice to tell them too. Conversely, there can be occasions where the PL instructs the PFM to close the project in our finance systems prematurely. I remember a case when the PL gave the instruction prematurely, prior to the TPV's database being decommissioned, and had to make a special request to the PFM to reactivate the project code to cover invoices from that vendor. So you really need to be meticulous when it comes to all closeout activities and communicating clearly to involved stakeholders. Good question. Your project will be subject to a disciplined cadence of financial and operational oversight, and you will need to consider the stakeholders involved in those processes as well. Well, you will need to meet each month with your project team, as well as the PFM for targeted discussions on project finance. Additionally, however, we have a process of integrated project review, which we refer to as IPR. The basic idea of IPR is that every project is reviewed at least once per month from an oversight perspective. And as you can envisage, this kind of review will also include some investigation of the financial elements for your project, even though the overall focus of IPR is how the project is going as a whole. I recommend you take a look at the PMCOE IPR help site for more, but let me just show you this schematic. If a project is operating well and has a good monthly project reporting, along with a disciplined cadence of good internal project team reviews and discussions, and if there is a good disciplined cadence of monthly review meetings, or MPRs, your project may only ever be reviewed at the MPR Tier B meeting level. The Tier B meetings will either be a routine check-in, or maybe a deep dive review, if merited, and then for sure, at predetermined intervals, you will have a stage gate review, or SGR. Yes, we know that that is a reality. Over the course of your project, there may be times when the project does not go so well. The processes shown on the schematic are designed to work together to provide a pathway for higher and higher levels of executive engagement and assistance. Does that make sense? As a PL, you need to think of yourself as the chief executive officer or CEO of your project, and you need to take charge in the way a CEO would take charge of a company. Think of your PFM as the chief financial officer or CFO, and if you have one, use your PMA as a scheduler and someone who provides you with a high level of financial control support. Make sure you execute monthly project reporting and introduce a disciplined cadence of constructive internal project team reviews and discussions. If there is a good disciplined cadence of monthly review meetings or MPRs your project may never get onto the finance radar. The finance radar is a term that I have coined myself. It doesn't really exist, but let me show you some of the things that I am talking about. In this course, you and Alex learned about the various aspects related to financial management at Quintiles. You are now aware of the major activities that you are likely to encounter in your project and your roles and responsibilities with respect to these activities. You also learned which factors influencing financial performance are likely to put your project under scrutiny. This should help you in practicing effective financial management. You should refer to the resources section in this course and reach out to your mentor or your line manager for any help or clarifications. Good luck!